praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We cry holy. We cry holy. Hallelujah. Can we cry out holy? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God, are you almighty who was and is to come? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, in the name of Jesus, strong name, matchless name, holy name, delivering name, saving name, healing name, oh Jesus, hallelujah. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you. Oh God, we cry holy, hallelujah. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you. So God, won't you word my mouth? Oh God, as you speak through me. Oh God, I thank you. Oh, I thank you. I thank you that your hand is on me. Oh God, it's not by my power. It's not by my might, but by your spirit. Oh God, says the Lord. So God, won't you touch every hearer of your word? Oh God, let it fall on good ground. Oh God, let our hearts be pricked. Oh God, let a fire be burning. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You all may have your seats in the blessed name of Jesus and his sanctuary. I give honor to God who is the head of my life. Every time I say that, I think about how many times I would say it, and he really wasn't the head. But he's the head. You know, like, you know, let's just keep it 100. Sometimes we give God, we say, God, you can have your way in me, but we really don't mean it. We be like, 25%. Please do not exceed the 25%, sir. We say, God, I give you all of me. And we only gave him a corner of us. But he wants all of us. I'm always, you know, I thank God. Sister Carolina, so happy to see you, sister. God bless you. But I think back to how to Pastor Ralph and I would talk, and he would share with me those letters. Oh man, and he was just saying, "It's your heart for God," and you know, it's so interesting because God be using us even when we're not doing what we need to be doing. Ain't that amazing? Amen. How gracious our God is. And I was talking about Abraham earlier to a coworker this week, and I said it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, we know what Abraham did. We know the history of Abraham. We know all the situations, but God still had him counted as righteousness. Man, I tell you, it helps you understand that you're included. Brother Andrew, it don't matter what we said or what we done. It don't matter what we used to do, but when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, he picks us right up. He says, I'm going to dust you off and I'm going to put you where you need to be. I'm excited. Right. I sound bad, but I tell you, I was preaching to myself in the shower. I said, I feel like preaching. Now, if it somehow it sounds like the mic go out, it's not the mic, it's me. It's me. But listen, I pray, and we're not going to be all in Proverbs 31, but we're going to talk about a virtuous strength on today. Now, remember how my intro, I was just saying, shooting straight from the hip, how when we weren't even doing right, we weren't doing, look at baby Isaiah Ralph, so grown. Oh, man. You know, when we weren't doing right, sometimes scriptures could rub us the wrong way. Maybe it was just me. I'm just going to talk about me, Samantha, just me. I don't know about nobody else's lifestyle. But I remember growing up, I don't want to say too much. I'll say this, because we ain't at a women's retreat, because we in a mixed company. But I will say I used to hear the term virtuous woman, and I had so much condemnation and shame about myself that I would skip it. That don't apply to me. Because the enemy likes to use your frailties, your humanity, your insecurities. He likes to pit you against yourself. You think you comparing yourself to a friend. You think you comparing yourself to a sibling. He's only messing with your head. And if you allow the enemy to really get in your mind, you will start to X yourself out of the scripture. you'll start to say that that scripture don't apply to me. I'm not good enough for that. Oh, but I thank God. I ain't going to tell you what my password is, but you're going to know about it by the end of this service. But when the Lord, I mean, this is within recent time, very recent. I'm talking we May right now. I would say February. The Lord had me start writing Proverbs 31 woman. And I was just like, what? Me? No, you know, like, if you're talking about, like, a Hagar, like, that's me. Not all Rahabby, but close. You know, read your Bible. It's in there. And listen, but it was one of those things where the Lord started dealing with me. I need you to read it, and I need you to know what I have called you to be. And when I tell you, because it started last year with Kingdom Woman shirt around November, maybe October, November, the fall of last year, I made a Kingdom Woman shirt. That's when you look back over your life and you start to see how God's been dealing with you, how he's been peeling back the onion of your soul. Yes. And he's trying to tell you, hallelujah, I want every bit of you. There's nothing that I cannot do with you. I can do everything in you, everything through you, if you let me have my way. So we got into Proverbs. So, you know, I thank God for my pastor, who happens to be my pappy. Growing up, when I was in trouble, he used to make me, as punishment, I had to write a book report on Proverbs, each chapter. So y'all be like, oh, Camille, you really know your word. That guy. Look, I was in trouble so much. The first time I was like, all right, I think in chapter one, he was saying to his son, you should do this. You should do. About time, third time I done did, I was writing full on sermon. I said, well, you know what? If you look through the text of commentary, I'm being very serious. Remember that, Dad? I said to myself, I said, I know he done preached one of my sermons I done wrote to him. I know he did, and I'ma find it. I was out there writing sermons way before conversion. Hallelujah. But in Proverbs 31, and I'm going to be in the Amplified today, and I did not give this to the IT team, aka myself, because I did not plan, and we're not going to go all through it, but I would love for you to turn to your Bibles with me if you can. Proverbs 31, we're going to hit some things, because I know you're probably wondering, virtuous strength, what does that mean? Well, when we look at Proverbs 31, Proverbs 31 is so interesting because it starts off from King Lemuel. He's writing this to his son because it's the words that his mama told him. This is Mother's Day. So to every mother who's raising sons, please know your children, your sons do hear you. It might not look like they listening. They hear you. You know, God bless you, Sister Linda, and Brother Mike, God bless you, my auntie and uncle. When we understand that God has a way of not only keeping firm on his word, but God has a way of ensuring that his word goes all the way through. Yes. Brother Pastor? Yes. Okay. So you don't have to turn to it. It's all good. All right. Praise the Lord. I just want to put the mouse back over on the other screen so I can click and go forward. Okay. Well, no, you got to put the mouse on the little monitor next to Tiffany. This will happen when you IT and the speaker for today. Put the mouse. There you go. Just click on it. Click right there. There we go. Praise God. I got it, Pastor. Thank you. Hallelujah. Look, we family here. And I thank God because when we understand that he says that our job is to plant and water, but it's him who gives the increase. Some of us are sitting in church because our parents prayed for us.
Right.
So when you feel like they ain't listening, they don't, I know this, you keep praying, you keep trusting, you keep serving. God got it. Amen. That's his business.
Amen.
Okay. So he said which his mother taught him. And so the first couple of stanza of this, he's telling his son how to be a good leader. In verses 1-9 is dealing with how to be a good leader. And then he remembered what his mama told him about not getting none of them other kind of women. Okay. They used to have a song, you can't turn a plank to the plankety plank. But the reality, God can turn anybody into something. Because if that's the truth, if I only listened to that song, I would not have understood what he's done in his word. But in the first in verse 10, the first portion of this, an excellent woman, this is amplified, one who is spiritual, capable, intelligent, and virtuous, who is he who can find her? Now, growing up, I'm going to tell you, Proverbs 31, verse 10 was on every Bible cover. At the Women's Day service, it was either Psalms 34:1, Proverbs 31:10. You could, everybody, you know, and I remember I'm like, give me another one. I don't want that because I didn't feel qualified. But when you think about it, it says an excellent woman who is spiritual, capable, intelligent, and virtuous. Who is he who can find her? Well, the Bible says and lets us know that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So wives, raise your hand if you've been a wife. You is a wife, or you fixing to be a wife one day. Come on, Allison, raise your hand with me and Nikki, come on. We the favor that God has assigned for that husband. I'm looking at some men whose favor. Come on, Brother David, men, make some noise if you've been favored because of your wife. Okay, we got some silent noises. Okay, praise God. Praise God. But the part that I like in the Amplified, it says this is a description of a worthy woman. So if you continue on through Proverbs 31, it talks about how her husband benefits from who she is. It talks about how her children praise her and call her blessed. It talks about how she is a merchant and makes money and tends to the various things. And I'm like, you know, it's something about when we read in scripture, when we can find ourselves. So maybe you're not making stuff with your own hands, but maybe you a really good cook. Or maybe you don't cook too well, but you know how to find a good deal. Or maybe, you know, so please, 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 women of God, people of God, don't eliminate yourself from the word of God.
Right.
You will only learn and know yourself in the word of God.
Yes.
Verse 12 says, she comforts, encourages, and does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I thought that was nice. Of her life. That's good. I know. It ain't on the board yet. I'm getting to 25. I'm walking it down. Praise God. We almost done, believe it or not. So when you see these different nuggets, and I suggest that you read through this and highlight the ones that stick out to you. Verse 14 is another one. She is like merchant ships abounding with treasure. She brings her household food from far away. Thank God for Uber Eats. Hello. Hello, somebody. See yourself in the text. Verse 17, we're going to read that in a little bit. I'll save that for later. But let's jump on down to what struck me. Verse 25 and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. And she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. She opens her mouth, verse 26, she opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction. Amen. I know you're right about it, Ralph. So, you know, it's Mother's Day, but the Word of God is for everybody. So when I think of this, the virtuous strength, I look at how God has made us. Yes, we're the weaker vessel, and when it comes down to maybe bone density and various things, but He's made us so strong in all of the ways that matters. Yes. Just kidding, kind of serious. He's equipped us with emotional intelligence. Yes. He's blessed us to have insight and intuition, and He had to put man to sleep to make us. Thank God. We would have came out with four of this and six of that and just messed up. That's funny. Very funny. And I'm trying not to laugh in the mic. But I love this is because when I think about the virtuous strength, some people started coming into my mind. And when I think about this, what do I need virtuous strength for? Well, I need strength to persist. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you, strength to persist for me is understanding, and I don't know, I think sometimes people mean well, but they teach wrong. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing somebody at the old church say, you can't be bothering God with the same old request. When you pray, pray once and believe. Well, I think you left some meat on the bone, brother, sister, whoever that was. Because you got to keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on trusting. It's great that you can pray and have faith and just know that God's going to do it. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Because if we doubt, a double-minded man, a woman, a boy, a girl, is unstable in all their ways. So we got to make sure that when we pray, we know who we're praying to. We know what we're praying about, and we know He's going to get the job done. Amen? Amen? So it's a strong possibility that's not, there we go. All right, we're going to get back to that. But nevertheless, strength to persist. We're going to get back to strength to believe in a minute. But strength to persist is found in Luke chapter 11. Be persistent in prayer. Every morning at 6 a.m., since the inception of 3P's Christian Ministries, we have a prayer line. And I remember sharing with Pastor, sharing with Sister Sandy, we should do a prayer line. I wasn't going to get on the prayer line. I just think we should do it. I'm the administrator. I administer. I go back to sleep. So there was many times, I know you, wait, hold on, easy. I know there was times when my mom was on the prayer line by herself, and if you all are familiar with Free Conference Call Connect, it'll keep playing music until another caller comes on. Mm. My mother would be on her cell phone and her house phone. Mm. Persistent. Mm. Praying. Mm. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Praying that someone else would join. Yeah. I get the report because I'm on the prayer line now. Oh, I'm on the prayer line. I'm telling you, God done did a wonder in my soul. Mm-hmm. down through these years and these 11 years that we've been in ministry, God has done a wonder in my soul. And I mean, we've had some amazing Bible, I mean, powerful preaching, praying folks on the prayer line, past, present, and now, and even future to come. And I mean, you talk, I get the report, Free Conference Call Connect said you have over 40-some thousand hours of prayer time, usage time, with over to 100 and some odd different calls coming in when it collected for them. I said, look at God.
Yeah,
I remember when that report said 4 hours. I remember when, But Jesus says over in Luke 11, he says, he's telling them, they first asked him in the first part, 11, Jesus, teach us how to pray, because, you know, John taught his disciples, so we need to learn how to pray too. Jesus was like, I'll give you a model for how you need to pray. You need to know who you're praying to.
Yes.
Know that he's holy.
Yes.
Know that he's righteous. Know who you're talking to.
Yes.
And then when you're getting in there, you need to make sure that you ask for forgiveness of sins and trespasses. You need to acknowledge your wrong and forgive so you can be forgiven.
Right.
And then go ahead and ask him as you're praying, pray not just for yourself, but pray for others too.
All right.
And so when we get verse 9, he says to them, he says over there in verse 9, Jesus said to them in the Amplified, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Women, men, people of God, we got to understand we need strength to persist. Think about the woman found over in Luke 18 and 1. She was dealing with, Jesus was trying to make a declaration to the people to help them understand you need to be persistent in your pursuit of Christ. You got to get in your relationship. And so he began to let them know. Over in Luke 18, he began to let them know that there was a woman who came before an unjust judge. And he begins to tell the story of how the woman continued to ask the unjust judge for fairness in her case. In verse 6 and 8, he says, then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and avenge his elect who he has chosen, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in providing justice on their behalf? I tell you that he will defend and avenge them quickly. However, the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith in all the earth? Listen. Uh-oh. I'm not throwing nothing, Daddy. When we got to have strength to persist, I know what it's like to want to give up. We all do. It gets hard sometimes. Suicidal ideation comes in the mind of everyone at least once in their life. That's what the enemy does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, hold up. I ain't gonna leave you comfortless, but I have come.
Yes.
That
yes.
But makes a difference. If Jesus says, he says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but if he just would have said, all right, now who wants to eat some fish and some tacos and stuff? We would have been jacked up.
Right. Yes.
But that but takes away everything that the enemy does and says that I come that you might have life and that more abundantly.
Yes.
So when we understand that we need to be persistent and we need a strength to persist, that means we need to have strength to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, IT didn't do this one right because that was me. And I got sidetracked with the kids. But the passage is what it's all about. You know, there was a woman with an issue of blood. She was really suffering. Endometriosis is not a new phenomenon. fibroids and all these things that we're seeing rising up in our women that I'm afflicted with myself, it ain't new. Hallelujah. And what I love about in Luke 8 and 48, she had enough faith to believe. She knew that Jesus was passing through in the town. And, you know, she didn't let the crowd stop her. You know how many times we turn around from the supermarket because the lines look long? We will go to a restaurant that we don't even like because the restaurant we do like got a wait time of 2 hours. We impatient. But when you have strength to believe and you got strength to just persist on, I got to get to Jesus. No matter what happens, what comes, what may, I got to get to Jesus. So she pressed her way through the crowd, is what King James said. And she made her way, and I mean, folks was all over, and she got down on the ground. Oh, God. They didn't have no paved roads like we do. They didn't have no plush carpet like we do. She was on the dust of those streets, and she made her way to Jesus. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She had enough faith in her mind to know that I know he's the Son of God. I know he's holy. I know he's a miracle worker. I know he's faithful. If I could just get to the hem of his garment. Oh, if I could just touch a piece of him. Oh, if I could just be. Are you desperate for Jesus? That much where you say, I just want to, if I could just make it to the house of the Lord, if I could just open my Bible and read one scripture, if I can listen to C.C. Winers on one, if I could just something, Lord, I just need a touch from you. Luke 6 and 48, Jesus, after the virtue, the healing virtue, people was touching all around, oh, hallelujah. People was touching all around him. But he said, oh, this was different. Thank you, Lord. I felt something on the inside. It wasn't like the little patty cake you in my way. Or it wasn't like the pandemonium I need to get to you. This was a desperation. Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has made you well. Go in peace, untroubled, undisturbed well-being. I'm reading out of Amplified. Man, he told his disciples, you know, because the disciples, they didn't really understand. They was hanging out with the best person in the whole wide universe and didn't really understand. But ain't that just like us? We've been coming to church. I grew up in a saved household. Read the Bible, even wrote reports. Wrote reports, right? I'm winning Bible drill champion. Wasn't I, Chucky? I was undefeated. I was making ministers and elders mad. No tabs in my Bible. I'm getting it. Had fun. But if something happens when you surrender your heart, it hits different, as the young people say. Strength to believe. Jesus said in Mark 9 and 23, Jesus said unto him, you say to me, if you can. He replies, all things are possible for those who believe and trust in me. Time won't permit me to go over to 2 Kings chapter 4, dealing with the Shunammite woman. You know, we got to read our Bible. Strength to believe goes a long way. This woman and her husband, he was an older man, so, you know, she was doing really good because, you know, as soon as he did, that's a check coming. Hello. But she was living really good. And Elisha and Gehazi would come through, and she said, she told her husband, I know he's a man of God. Oh, I know he's a servant of the Most High. We need to make a room for him. Man, okay. I don't know, Brother David, as much as you love you different folks, I don't think if Sister Patricia said, hey, I need you to make a room upstairs, you'd be like, for who? For what? For why? For when, where, for, now, right? But it was a different situation. And it was so interesting because you read over in 2 Kings chapter 4, he asked Gehazi, asked the woman what she needed. And she was like, listen, we're good. You just continue to pray for us. God bless you. God keep you. I'm going to have you some cornbread and some greens when you come back next time. So Gehazi said, well, Pastor Elisha, I noticed she don't have a son. She need a kid. Her husband old. You know how it is in these streets. She need a baby. He was like, all right, well, tell her. Come on here. I'm going to bring out and tell her the word is she going to have a child. By the next time this season, she's going to have a baby. She came in there, look here, don't be playing with me. I ain't asked you for nothing. You all up in my womb, okay? So don't be telling me nothing. This is how I read it, okay? I don't know how you read your Bible, but this is how I read it, okay? Because that woman was like, I'm good. Have you ever got so content because you've been so disturbed by what hasn't happened? That you just said, you know what, God, I'm good. And we throw it out of our mind. But do you know the word of the Lord still speaks today? Just like the prophet of God was over in Shunem to meet with that woman, her husband. Don't you know God will meet you, Nikki? Don't you know God will meet you? Don't you know he still got a word for you today, Allison? We can't give up on God.
Amen.
There's no reason to. We got to have faith to believe. So what all happened? You all, if you read the story, you know she did get pregnant.
Yes.
And the baby did get older. She nursed him and everything. He got grown. He was even working in the field with his pappy. And he said, ooh, my head hurt. Ooh, my head. And he fell over. They rushed him to his mama, laid him on her lap. She's rocking her baby. He a big boy. But just like when my big mama used to rub my daddy's head, we drove so fast from California to Old Muggy, Oklahoma, just so he could sit at her feet and get his head rubbed by his. It's something about a mother. Desperate. So what happens now? He's dead. He has expired. So she takes him upstairs, lays him in the prophet's room. Huh? Glory to God. She had strength to believe. She said, give me one of them donkeys. Look, come with me. I want you to drive this donkey as fast as you can. I don't care if somebody pull you over. Stay on the road. Let's go. We got to get to the man of God. Read 2 Kings 4. It's in there. I promise you, I'm not making it up. And I mean, they made their way. And Elisha, the scripture says that he saw her from afar off. He said, go on, see what she wants. See what's going on. Ask her, is it well? She go, hey, y'all, how you doing? It's me, Miss Shunammite woman. Everything okay? It is well, but I need you to come back with me.
Yes.
But everything good. I need, come on. I need you to come with me. So they get on the road. They heading back to Shunem. They get in the house, and Elisha sees that their young boy is dead. She told him, she said, listen, I wasn't even asking for no son. But you said I would have a son, and I have my son. But now my son is expired. And I need you to come on back yonder and make it right. Do you have strength enough to believe that even though your son is dead, laying on that table upstairs, that the man of God, because you have so much faith in God, not in Elisha, but in God of heaven, because he heard my prayer and my supplication, and he knows what I need, and he's delivering me. So he get on back to the house. He does what he does. He pray. He lays on the boy. He prays over the boy. And the first time when he laid on him, nose to nose, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, nothing happened. But his body got warm. Okay. Did another time. Stretched out on him. And did it another, and the boy sneezed 7 times, and life was restored. But did you hear what I said when we first talked about strength to believe? She said, it is well. So I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe it's just to myself. Do you have it? It is well in my soul, in the midst. because I still believe, my God, I still believe that he's the same God in Luke 8. I still believe he's the same God in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you could ever ask or think according to his power that's at work within us. Oh God, thank you. So after you got strength to believe, strength to persist, you need to have strength to fight on. Sometimes we get so in awe of our mothers, and I know I do. My grandmother, my one grandmother that's gone on to be with the Lord, I'm so grateful for my grandma Carol right with me today. So grateful. How do you keep moving on with so much that has happened in your life? So much pain, so much hurt, so much loss. How do you keep moving on? How do you not allow, look, my big mama is noted even in her obituary. She was the first black woman to work at the Dairy Queen in Okmulgee, Oklahoma. Do you, listen, I wasn't born in Jim Crow era. Some of y'all were, okay? But how do you keep moving forward with love in your heart? I wasn't born when I talked to my great-great cousin, just call her auntie now because she the last living one on that side, but cousin Flo's mom, Iris T. Thank you, Daddy. And she's almost 90 years old this coming January, and she had so much knowledge of my daddy's maternal side, his mother's father and grandfather had so much, and I mean, born in 1800, how do you still fight on? How do you still keep going home? How does mama keep living in the same house even though daddy's gone? Sometimes we got to ask ourselves, how do they do it? Well, it's not of their own strength. It's of his strength. It's of his power. It's of his might. It's of his spirit. It's not of us. My auntie goes to dialysis faithfully, and to have the strength, oh man, how do you have strength to fight on? Well, you find that in Ephesians 6. We about to go. He says over in Ephesians 6, because this is my conclusion too. When you have the strength to fight on, you can say in conclusion, understanding, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. And in the power of his boundless might, put on the full armor of God. Oh God, for his precepts are like splendid armor of heavenly armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against the schemes and strategies and the deceits of the devil. You can't do it on your own. Strength to fight. Strength to keep moving on, that's by the Lord's doing. Paul even said over in Corinthians, we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood anyway. This is spiritual wickedness. So the stuff that happened in 18, whatever, the stuff that happened in 19, so-and-so, the stuff that's going on in the 2000s, is spiritual warfare. I'm not going to be bound up by the color, by the gender, by the demographic of people. I'm going to be bound in his word. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to make sure that I got on the helmet of salvation. I'm going to make sure that I got on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to make sure that my feet are shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. I'm going to make sure I'm laying hold to the belt of truth. I'm going to make sure I got the shield of faith. Well, I'm going to make sure I got the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. I have to abound myself with him. For me to have virtuous strength, if you saw it when I was clicking through, I don't know what's going on with IT. I tell you, we wanted to talk to that girl. But over in Proverbs 31 and 17, the virtuous woman, she girds herself with strength, spiritual and mental and physical fitness for her God-given task, and makes her arms strong and firm. Women of God, this is for us today to get encouraged. We need some virtuous strength. You've been doing real well, sis. I want to let you know. Mamas, grandmamas, aunties, sisters, nieces, y'all been doing so well. We've been holding, thank God, his blood has covered us. But now we got to go even higher. We got to understand that the battles that we faced yesterday, those are yesterday's battle. It's new territory today. And tomorrow looks even newer. And the next day, but we don't have to worry about that. That got enough to take care of itself. But for today, oh, we're going to stand on holy ground. Today, we're going to be abounding in his word. On today, we're going to make sure that we arm ourselves with the gospel of peace. Can we stand for those that can stand? Someone might be lacking strength on today. Someone might be feeling like they're at the edge of their rope. And I know this is Mother's Day, and someone might say, well, she was preaching out of Proverbs 31. She didn't really talk about the men. Well, the word of God is for everybody. Amen. And I believe, men, you have an even greater charge.
That's right.
Because God has called you to be the head of the home.
That's right.
Amen. So if your virtuous woman is struggling in any capacity, it is your duty, your mission, what God has commanded you to pray over her, to lead her, to hold her, to comfort her, to God. God has given you that charge, man. So we're praying for your strength, man of God. We're praying for the hurting husbands. We're praying for the strained wife. We're praying for the widow woman and the widower. We're praying, right? So if you are in need, if you want, Pastor, if you want to anoint it, that's up to you. If you want to lift your hands so Pastor can anoint you, we're going to pray. Because I believe God wants us to have strength on today. For the Lord our God, he's our shield and our glory and the lifter of our head. Because he is the God who makes ways out of no ways. He's the God who says that over in Psalms 24, David had to write it so good. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. Oh God, do we understand that we got strength? Hallelujah. You might be weary. You might be tired. You might be frustrated. But God will give you strength. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God, we just want to tell you thank you. Oh, God, thank you for this day. Thank you that you've rescued our life. Oh, God, thank you. When the enemy wanted to come in like a flood, you raised up standards. Oh, God, even in sickness, oh, God, you have healed us, oh, God. So, God, we thank you. We thank you on today. God, we thank you for every person standing. But right now, I'm going to call special attention to the praying mothers. The mothers who've been praying for their sons and daughters, their grandchildren and great-grandchildren and godchildren and, oh, God, nieces and nephews. They've been praying and interceding, oh, God. God, won't you strengthen these women right now? Oh, God, give them the virtuous strength, oh, God. Replenish them, oh, God. Help them to know they're not the sum total of their mistakes, oh, God. God, that you know everything and you factored it all in. Oh, God, and you yet have a plan for their life. Oh, God, if they're sick and afflicted in their body, oh, God, heal in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, oh, God, as they say it is well, as they smile on their face, and they're still serving their community and family. God, won't you heal them even now, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for the family. I thank you for my mother, oh God, who prayed for me when I was on my deathbed. Oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh God, continue to strengthen every woman in this house. under the sound of my voice, oh God. God, won't you touch the husbands, the brothers, the sons, oh God, the grandsons and nephews. God, won't you touch them, your people. Oh God, help them to understand who you are. Help them to see you for themselves. Help them to know you in the power of your resurrection and in the fellowship of your suffering, being conformed to the image of Christ daily, oh God. God, help us, oh God. Oh God, so we're lifting ourselves to you. And we're asking you, God, deposit in us. Oh God, first take everything out that ain't like you. Oh God, take everything out. You told the prophet Joel to let the people know when they repent, I don't need them to rend their clothes, but I need them to rend their hearts. Give me your heart, oh God. So God, if there's any of us that's still trying to hold on to whatever that thing is, God, give us the strength to let it go, oh God, to trust you with our entire soul and being, to trust you with our future, oh God, to trust you that you will bring us to the expected end. Oh God, strengthen us, oh God. Strengthen us for the journey to come. Oh God, whatever we might endure today and the weeks ahead, God, help us to never know, never to lack, or never to grow weary and feel that you ain't heard us, that you have forgotten about us. Help us to know you remember your people, your creation, oh God, and you love us, oh God. So, God, we thank you for this blessed time of fellowship on the day. God, I thank you for blessing my voice to even manage through on today. God, I thank you for your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I thank you that your word exposes, it heals, it delivers, it sets free, it breaks chains. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, God, so, God, for every child that's not in church today, oh, God, touch them in the name of Jesus. Every heart that the mother's praying for, oh, God, do something, God. Like only you can. God, we're just praying your will to be done. God, that you will get the glory. You will get all the honor. You get all the praise. And as we go through on this day, in the furtherance of the service, we'll continue to lift our hands and tell you thank you for the strength that you give us. Thank you for the peace that you've given us. Thank you for the confirmation of believing you, oh God, over what we see, because we know the just, we live by faith. So God, we honor you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. What a message. What a message today. Amen. Hallelujah. Does anyone feel encouraged? Do anyone feel strengthened? Do you strengthen? Do you feel the virtue of God moving in your life? Amen. God has a perfect plan for us. And let me just say, happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. Brothers, I need your help. Brother Tyrone, Brother Man of God David, Brother Chucky, there are some boxes. Now, the children are going to come first. They have something they want to share. And so as you brothers go make your way that way, you'll see a couple of boxes out there we need to bring in here. Let's get a Lord a hand for these babies that's coming to bless us. Come on, Anali. Come on, sweetheart. Amen. Amen. Yes, y'all make your way right on back through there. Look at Ceci working. Praise the Lord. Baby Luke. All right, Luke. I don't call him Baby Luke no more. He's grown on up now.